Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dan Pompey! Dan Pompey! With Mully and Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Dan Pompey's name is writ in the Hall of Fame, and he joins us on the El Pamonte Ford Hotline. El Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Morning, Dan.
I'm great. It's Packers week, guys. My blood pressure already is elevated and getting ready for the big game.
There's medication for that, Dan.
That's fantastic.
I like to keep it low.
So, you know, it's funny because Packers week is a big deal, and it should be a big deal for all Bear fans. And now it's almost secondary to the fact that this is an elimination game, right? I mean, the Bears really have to win this game. They have to go up to Lambeau and get it done. And it adds a little extra bit of excitement maybe than you usually expect.
No question. I mean, you know, I think it's a really meaningful game. More so for the Bears than the Packers, because if they lose this one, their season's over, and they still have a chance right now to be in the playoffs. So, I think you have to always respect the desperate team. And I think the Bears also are a team that, you know, I know we like to beat up on them and we like to kick them because they've been down and all that, and it's all deserved. But this is a team that's trending upwards. You know, they're doing things better. They played their best complete game of the year last week. They are probably getting Akeem Hicks back, which is huge. Might be their best player on either side of the ball. And they're getting him back against a team that runs the ball as well as any team in football almost. The timing couldn't be better. I think they're probably going to get Mukamara back today or this week, which helps. So, I think the Bears have a lot going for them in this game. And, you know, the Packers need to respect them and play a good game, but the Bears, I think, very well could jump up and bite them.
I think it's a great point because when you look at the respective teams, the Bears actually come in on a bigger role than the Packers. They have 10 victories, certainly, but their offense is not clicking the way that they really want it to still, Dan. I mean, how have they been able to win 10 games with an offense that you look at it at this stage of the season and still the feeling in Green Bay is they could be better?
Well, I think they've done enough of what they need to do on both sides of the ball to win games. They're kind of a resourceful team. Obviously, they're good at the end of the game, which means everything. And, I think that they've been able to play complementary football. They've been able to help what is a much improved defense. They've been able to make big plays on defense that have set up their offense. And, it's been a good formula. I think Matt LaFleur has pushed a lot of the right buttons at the right times. It just seems like, they're a team that figures things out when they need to. And I think, you know, the Packers could be a team that makes a good postseason run, too, if they continue to do things this way and maybe find some of the things that have been missing early in the year from their team.
I think it's really hard to get a feel for the Bears, Dan. I mean, I think it's a struggle for me to figure out how much better they've gotten because, the two of their wins are against the Lions. They've beaten the Giants. These are not great teams. And then they take on Dallas. And you could make an argument, and we've heard people say it, that defense was almost tailor-made for Mitch's game, that they struggle against quarterbacks that run the ball and that Mitch, once he starts running, it's almost like he gets more confidence and he throws the ball better. It's a really interesting dynamic when he's on the run. And now you look at them going up to Green Bay, and here's a good team with a good record. Maybe they're not playing great, but Mike Betton, I'm very curious to see how he attempts to combat the offense and Mitch's ability.
Yeah, agree. They are a difficult team to get a read on because of the quality of the opponents they've been playing lately. But, you have to give them credit for doing what they've had to do against the opponents that have been in front of them. So, I think part of what happens when you go on a little streak like they've been on, even against bad opponents, is you start to get confidence and you start to understand yourself better. You start to realize the things that you can do well and the things that maybe you don't do so well. And all of that is happening with the Bears. And I think in terms of will the Packers be ready for, this kind of new evolving Bears offense, or maybe it's an old Bears offense that we saw last year. Yeah, I think absolutely. But, the beauty of a running quarterback is he's hard to defend. That's hard to defend. I mean, you could devote resources to it. Then you're going to make yourself vulnerable somewhere else. But I think, when Mitch uses his legs the way he did against the Cowboys, he's going to create problems, whether or not he's making big plays. So I think, the Bears should have realized that by now, and I think that I would expect for there to be more of that in this game and moving forward the rest of the season.
Dan, like a lot of people, I enjoyed your story in The Athletic about the Virginia McCaskey and the Bears adding a chapel room at Hallis Hall. And there are a lot of jokes in there about unanswered prayers and those type of things and Hail Marys.
And it wasn't lost on me that it was in the old quarterback's meeting room.
No, I don't think lost on anybody. Yeah. What was your favorite part about doing that story? And how unusual is it to have that, have an NFL team kind of make that a priority?
Yeah, well, they are, as far as I know, and no one has told me any different since the story's been out, so they're the only team in the NFL that has a worship space in their facility, which I guess is kind of appropriate because of their history and, their long devotion to Catholicism that goes back to George Halas. And, the worship space is something that is not just for Catholics or Christians, though. They have it open for all faiths, and they have other faiths represented within the space, and they have ways to even cover up some of the Christian parts of the chapel in case people want to go in there and they don't want to look at a crucifix, for instance. I think it's a wonderful thing, and my understanding is there've been a number of Bears players that have been really enthusiastic about it, and people who work in the building have been stopping in and spending a couple moments there, and I think it's a really nice thing for any workspace. And the new Hallis Hall has a lot of features and elements that are kind of like this, that I think a lot of the new companies, your Silicon Valley companies, the tech companies, are incorporating in their workspaces. They have areas where it's kind of communal, where people can work at like big benches, but there's white noise coming in. They have a place where you could go and, have snacks in the middle of the day. They have a room where you could go and take a nap. So I think, it's part of a bigger picture in making employees comfortable and productive throughout the day and, making your product the best it can be.
Well, I really hope Mitch and Jimmy are listening because we could use a sleep room.
Well, I think you could use a prayer, too.
We could use a chapel.
This week.
Dan, so help us out. We saw, and this, I've said this to David, that once upon a time there were both safeties out of a game and the Bears made a change, and I talked to someone about it, and they said, well, there's going to be no drop-off in play because their safeties aren't very good and the two guys that came in are probably as good. And I think we've seen that a little bit with the tight end position where – it's bad that you got guys down, but the guys that have replaced them are just as good. And that might maybe speaks to the fact that you don't have the top-end guy that you thought you were getting, maybe due to injury with Trey Burton and certainly not a great draft pick of Adam Shaheen. But when you see something like that and you see injuries like that, And you see multiple injuries. Cordero Patterson now is getting the ball. Well, he got the ball on one play. I thought at the beginning of the year that he was the one element that that was new this year that they didn't have a year ago, and they were going to use him in all different ways. He's been great returning kicks and covering kicks, but why has he not been a part of that offense at all, and will we see more of him down the stretch?
Yeah, I don't understand it. I mean, there have been a couple of kind of disastrous plays this season with Cordero Patterson, but he just really hasn't gotten the football. I don't know. I don't understand why. I thought for sure that when they brought him in here, that was part of their thinking. Obviously, he's been a valuable part of special teams, probably a Pro Bowler for special teams. But, you know, if you look at the way New England used him last year, and then you look at Matt Nagy's history and the things that he likes to do, you would think, well, this is a match made in heaven, and Nagy is going to really try to kind of push the boundaries and use this guy in ways that the Patriots used him in ways that we haven't even seen before. And it just hasn't happened. I don't know if it's because the Bears have been struggling to do the little things and the fundamental things, and that they hope that Patterson could be someone who kind of be used in a way that played off of those fundamental things. But I think, again, moving forward, this guy should definitely be a part of the offense. And he's one of those players who, you know, even if you use him on a play and the play fails or the play doesn't really get anything big that you hoped it would, maybe it still serves a purpose because it creates stress for a defense and it causes them to adjust and maybe gives you an ability to counterpunch with something at a later point in the game.
Dan, the Packers want to win this game. The Bears need to win this game. Who's going to win this game?
You know, David, I'm still kind of on the fence on this. I was thinking about it a little bit this morning. I haven't completely thought it through yet, but there definitely is a part of me that is leaning toward the Bears. And, you know, maybe common sense will talk me out of it between now and Friday or Thursday, whenever I have to make my pick. But I think... you know, the fact that the Bears are a desperate team and they're playing well and they see this as the biggest game of their season, the biggest opportunity that they have had since the playoff game last year against the Eagles, leads me to believe that they're going to have a very good effort. Whether or not that effort will be good enough to beat a very good Green Bay team on their home field is the issue, and I think the only thing I can tell you at this point, I'm pretty sure it's going to be a really good football game.
All righty, Dan, thanks a ton. We appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, Dan. Good stuff.
Okay, thanks, guys.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.